Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode.
Morning, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Abhi Yadav, co-founder and CEO of iCustomer. And today we're going to talk about alignment all year, which is, you know, we have this thing called leveraging decision intelligence to deploy ABM and maintain alignment along the way. And I have with me my friend and partner in crime for this, Mason Cosby, who I know, I love the term, by the way, scrappy ABM, and that's because ABM shouldn't be a 250K kind of a deal. We can be scrappy, but far more effective. He's the co-founder CEO of the company, an amazing expert when it comes to account-based marketing, and greatly inspired by all the stuff he does. So, Mason, you want to talk?
Yeah, Abhi, I just appreciate being here today. Thanks for the opportunity to just kind of dig into how do we actually get aligned? As you and I both know, alignment is always the number one reason why most revenue programs fail. And we'll talk about this here in just a moment. Abhi, I'm excited. You come from far more of an intelligent data perspective than I do. I talk a lot about frameworks and content, but I'm excited to dig into specifically how people are able to leverage data to way more effectively actually build out their programs. So that said, here's what we're going to talk through today. We're going to define ABM, talk about how to turn ABM acronyms into meaningful definitions, driving alignment past your annual all hands. I don't know about you. I actually just scheduled all of our flights and I'm like actually looking at it. I'm like, golly, we've got a 9-person team. We're dropping like $15,000 for 9 people to get together for like 2 days. So like if we get together and then we leave and nothing changes, what a waste of time, energy, effort, and money. Like, oh my goodness. And that's $50,000 in hard costs, not even their salaries. But anyway, we're going to talk through that. How to operationalize partnerships between marketing and sales, orchestrating execution and changing market. And then we're going to have some time at the end for Q&A. So B, you ready to dive in?
Yeah, let's dive in. I'm excited.
All right. Here's how you're going to get the most out of the session. Maybe if you're like me, you got paper around, or if you're not, or you're also like me, you've maybe got a second screen, go ahead and pull up on a second screen and create a quick chart that's data distribution, destination, and direction. Next thing is going to be down a sheet of paper. Awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, and re-engagement. I say this at the start of every webinar I get the opportunity to do. Information without implementation is absolutely useless. So I want this to be very useful for you. So if you're going to be here, go ahead and write these things down. So again, data, distribution, destination, and direction, and then awareness, initial engagement, meaningful engagement, marketing qualified account, sales qualified account, opportunity, and re-engagement. So what is ABM? We define it at Scrappy as ABM is a B2B revenue strategy that aligns the revenue team around a set of shared target accounts. So that's marketing, that's sales, that's also customer success. In order to do that, you have to have really, really great data to actually make informed decisions. So again, Abhi, I'm sure you know even better than I do, it's the occasional sales team that is like, here's our dream list. And they're like, Apple, Microsoft, Nike. And it's like, we sell into the manufacturing space. Like, yeah, maybe, but also probably not. Like, we're SMB in manufacturing. Like, they don't need our stuff. So anyway, in order to get aligned, you actually have to have intelligent data to then effectively say, oh, here's our ICP or here's our total relevant market, which we'll define some of those terms here a little bit later. Because I want to make it really simple for everybody real quick. When we talk about alignment and like who we're going after, here's what we all just want. We want our best potential customers to know that we exist. We want these same people to understand the problem that they're facing. We want these same people to know that we can help their problems go away. We want these same people to understand that they can buy from us to fix the problem. We want these same people to then stay with us forever. And we want them to buy more. And that's it. That's it. So how do we get there? We're going to talk through that. And it's going to start with first failure, which is everybody's favorite topic. And there's a lot of data-backed reasons on why ABM fails. And I'll just kind of breeze through the first two, but I really want to hone in on point three because I don't actually think it's talked about enough. So yes, alignment. We're going to talk a lot about that today. And typically that comes from misalignment on language. So marketing will say things like leads. We need to go generate more leads. What typically happens is they generate contacts in the database. Sales says we need more leads. They have opportunities in the pipeline. So marketing goes and generates a bunch of leads. And those are new email addresses that show up. Some of them are probably Gmails anyway. And then separately from that, sales is like, these leads are crap. We need more new leads. And the cycle repeats. At the end of the day, we both used the word leads, but what we actually meant is sales wants opportunities. They want a deal that they can put in their pipeline. They don't want leads, they want deals. Sales, instead of going and generating deals, generated contacts. Misalignment on that front. Second thing is lack of resourcing. So again, ABM as a general principle, what will often happen is there's marketing manager Susie. Susie's really good at her job, probably has a title of demand gen or content or something along those lines. Somebody may be listening to this and like say, oh my goodness, we got to go to build an ABM program. So they'll just kind of go to Susie and say, hey, Susie, you're going to do ABM now. And what ends up happening is Susie gets fired because Susie can't build ABM on her own, which kind of threw it at her. And the phrase that I like to use a lot is we've given someone the accountability to create organizational change or the authority to do so. So don't just throw it at Susie. Build a little team to actually help Susie get her job done. Lastly, measurement. Out of the box kind of has HubSpot or Salesforce. Out of the box, you set it up. You typically have like native lead scoring capabilities. HubSpot specifically does not have native account scoring capabilities. So like build an ABM program, we leave everything the same. We're like, ah, great. And then you go to your dashboard and it's like, wow, everything still sucks. So like you got to fix that and have a different way of measurement. And that comes back to data, which is a B. I really want to get your specific perspective on like, why do people not change how they measure to capture different data? Like why are we not seeing people actually address that component?
Yeah, no, I can go like all day long just on that topic, you know, but let me just flip this, you know, even before the measurement, I think what is really struggling, like teams are struggling today is the input on why, what to even measure, you know? And that comes down to the fact, like, what did we plan and what did we achieve sort of a thing? You know, what's the goal part? But then more specifically around the measurement, I think, you know, there are limitations of team, like number of tools, how would you measure? Then there's the whole debate about like attribution model. I want this one. I want that one. You know, are we not capturing enough? We having this conversation almost every day, just today as well, earlier in the client, where they're like, our attribution is broken and we don't know how to fix it because we don't know what is the input going in. Like when we are actually launching the campaign, we're doing very separately. There's a different team which does email. There's a different team which does ads. And then there's a different team which actually captures all this on the website and other thing. So how do we like triangulate all this? And this is where I feel like even in an ABM setting, it's like hard to measure when it comes to attribution or measurement.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been seeing even more than sales and marketing alignment is at times marketing and marketing alignment. So like at an enterprise level, we've got our social team, we've got our paid team, we've got our content team, we've got our demand team, we've got our events team, and they all have separate goals. And like, yes, of course it can be hard to measure when everyone's doing something different and none of it ladders up into a larger strategy. So again, I love the call out of just even that misalignment that often happens. So yeah. If marketing and marketing aren't aligned, it's impossible to get alignment across the rest of the organization. So I love that call out.
Or just dictionary, just the dictionary part. Like we were on the call just like, sorry, one like really quick important point there. Yeah. They were five different definition of a segment. And if you want to call this as financial, do you want to call this as financial services? Where would it bucket? You know, there are all kinds of things. And it all comes down to data, actually.
Couldn't agree more. Okay. So now, taking a few minutes to talk all the reasons that this might fail. So let's talk through how to get everybody on the same page. And I'm a founder now. I have historically come from a sales and marketing background, but I now a lot more talk with marketers from a sales role. And the more I've gotten to know from this perspective, I realize many marketers have not sat in a sales seat in a recent timeframe. And that's where some of the misalignment comes from. It's just the expectations on time horizons. So again, when we think about the goals for sales, very simple. And I don't mean this as a like it's super complex to do sales. Don't get me wrong, but like kind of be boiled down into three core things. They want meetings. They want them to be qualified into opportunities that move, and they want them to close. Haven't figured out anything else, but like if we really boil it down, those are the three things that sales wants. When we think about the time horizons for sales, it's typically days, weeks, and quarters. So like I think about, for example, today, I have three sales calls later today that I'm like excited about. I've got in the next Friday and Monday, I've got four new discovery calls, which was like kind of unexpected this late in the year. So I'm thinking about like, what do I have meeting wise that's going to help make sure that these either enter into pipeline, or how do I prepare and kind of wow them, or whatever I need to do? Like, what does today look like that helps me make sure these meetings go well? That's first thing. Second thing, weeks. Ideally, every week we have an intentional game plan for how we take a deal from one stage to the next. So how do I do that? How do I make sure that when I'm not in an active meeting, how am I following up appropriately and not just doing, hey, you want to schedule another meeting? Or like, hey, what's legal saying? But more like, how do I show up as relevant based on what's happening to them right now? And then lastly, it's typically quarters. Yes, you could argue this is months, but we think in quarterly goals typically. We have small monthly goals along the way. But at the end of the day, like, do I have enough pipeline to hit my quarterly goal, especially in B2B, where like a really fast sales cycle for some people is like 45 days. Like, that's lightning fast. So again, if you're thinking about December pipeline, what you have in pipeline right now will likely close in February. It's kind of how it rolls. If you have a fast sales cycle, if you have a slow sales cycle, what you have right now might close this time next year. So like, do I have the pipeline to justify my existence for the next four quarters? Yes or no?
Totally.
Now the next question, what's the time horizon for marketing? And it's like, the minimum is like months. It's like, so we launched a newsletter a couple weeks ago. I've been planning that launch for 2 months. We are doing 2025 planning. We have quarterly initiative plans for our marketing, our revenue generation program. I'm also thinking years down the road. I talk about this somewhat frequently. I love ABM. I also know that we will likely not be scrappy ABM forever. We'll probably rebrand, and I got to figure out that new market positioning. And I'm thinking about that, like, when is that timing correct? I want to own the ABM space for the next few years, but we may tap out on market saturation in the ABM space, at which point we need to expand. That's a rebrand. That's years down the road. Sales are not thinking about that. That also begs the question, what all is marketing doing? And typically it's like everything. It's like, yeah, we're doing all of this stuff. And that's great. And when marketing thinks about it, it's like, awesome. What are we doing that actually contributes to sales goals? Everything. Everything we do helps sales. But from sales perspective, it's like maybe email if they're pretty good. Maybe events if we do a good plan. Maybe paid search unless we're just throwing money into a dumpster fire. Maybe paid social. Maybe a webinar. But like for sure, referral programs, the enablement when I ask for one pager and I get a one pager, like that helps sales. Outbound support and then website management to make sure that the things actually on the website convert. So again, when we look at the time horizons, sales is like, what are you doing to help me today? And when they look at all the things that you do as a marketer, they may not even understand it. And I don't mean that as a negative. It's just like, if pipeline's empty,
yeah,
and you're like, we're doing this great podcast tour. It's like, who cares? I need pipeline. So here's the simple thing to walk away with. Marketing needs to think long-term, obviously. Challenge, long-term doesn't get here if we don't deliver in the short term. And at the end of the day, everything is predicated on true alignment and solid data that informs the decision that we make. So then we can actually get pipeline full and marketing can go do whatever it wants. Because in my experience, as long as the pipeline is full, no one has asked me, what is marketing doing? It just doesn't happen. I get to do whatever I want, which is great. So that's what we'll help you get to today. And we look at a bunch of data that come from a book called The Long and Short. And what we found through that book is that the appropriate budget allocation for marketing and sales activation, brand building versus sales activation, other people call it demand generation versus demand capture, all of those viable terms, but it's typically 60% should go towards activation. Sorry, I lied. Woo, got my data mixed up. Forgive me. 60% should go towards brand building, 40% should go towards sales activation. what I talk about with every one of our clients. Where are you? Because it matters. If the pipeline is full, let's go build the brand, baby. Like, let's go invest. If pipeline's empty, though, what you can't see, it's really teeny tiny words. Short-term effects dominate in a six-month time horizon. Literally from a research study, the word that was used was dominates. So if you don't have pipeline, go get you some pipeline, fill it, and there are simple plays that you can run with the right data. We're going to talk through some of those plays. I mean, before I move on to anything else, from your experience, like, does this ring true?
No, it hits home. I personally had worked with some of the world's, I would say, best marketers and, you know, like high growth companies. And I've seen some of the most creative side of marketing, and I've seen the most like left brain side marketing. And we used to joke about this thing called, you know, you can ride on a horse and you could be sitting on a rocking horse versus a galloping horse when it comes to marketing efforts. So you can be that rocking horse, which is primarily, you know, I want to show action. Sometimes it's culture. Sometimes not the marketeer for. Sometimes people just want to see whole mumble tumble like this tweet and that, you know, campaign and show me all bunch of campaign, even though, you know, the data or the campaign suck. It doesn't even have resonated with the ICP. You know, like, oh, wait a minute, we had that ICP, but look at where we're sending. No, our campaigns were great success, 80% open rate, who knows, you know. Then I have worked with some of those who actually maniacally focus on what is the list of this campaign? What is the audience we're going after? Why are we going after it? Does this, you know, the nuances of like each title, you know, in B2B campaign, you're like, why this title and why this job function? And because, you know, that's like all over the place when you look at some of these kind of segment. So I feel like this is where like a massive gap exists today. There's nothing against like, you know, having great creatives as stable state. I mean, every marketer, you know, should hit home, obviously. But with that, we should not forget about the aspect of, you know, what is actually worth pumping this campaign on. And in all my life, I've been background database marketing. And when it comes to database, not the list volume, it's the relevancy of the list. So cannot agree more.
I love it. And yeah, so as we talk about this idea through the lens of how do we get our teams aligned, we're going to actually give you essentially a script for you to have conversations at your all hands of how to think through this. So what we want to start with is clear goals. So like, hey, our team is struggling right now to generate pipeline. So what's goal one? Build pipeline today. I'll actually give you a series of examples of how you can do that using your existing data and database. So that's first step. Once you've built pipeline, that will give you breathing room to build the brand. Because again, as long as like, there's stuff to work that's good quality. Always caveat, good quality. You have the license to then go build the brand. The other thing I always like to say is it's never a conversation of, well, why can't we do both? It's simply a conversation of timelines and consequences. Ideally, if we had unlimited resources and unlimited time, we'd do everything, but we don't. Like, the game of business is how do we effectively do the maximum that we can given the current constraints? That's the game. And then lastly, this is something I recently stole from a guy named Alex Hormozi, but he just talked about it in this framing of problems versus opportunities. So problems are like, our close rate is terrible. We should probably fix that. And we know if we fix our close rate, everything else gets better. So like, it's known things that need to get solved that are a current constraint. Opportunities, on the other hand, are new things that might help, but they're unknown. So if you get the opportunity to figure out, should I fix problems or should I pursue opportunities? Always fix problems. The other framing that I stole from him is like, when you make a decision, you got three options: more, better, new. Always do more and better. And once you've done more and better a lot and it stops working, do new. But new is last. So opportunities are last. Fix problems. So here is, if you're a marketer, talking to sales, trying to get alignment. Here's the exact script. We can do things right now that fill pipeline. Hear you loud and clear. We need to fill pipeline. Here's my hesitation. Damage brand reputation, weakened audience trust, and short-term success that creates long-term pipeline volatility and unrealistic goals. We'll talk about that more on the next slide. But if we're all aligned that we're going to do some short-term programs to build pipeline today, here's what I'd recommend. Next 6 to 9 months, we'll have pipeline volatility. It's just going to happen because we don't have the brand quite yet. Like, we have more sellers than we have brand equity. And as a result, we generate pipeline, but it's not enough to feed every salesperson right now. It's just kind of reality. But after that 6 to 9 months, we will transition to a more balanced approach after establishing that initial pipeline generation programs. Because long-term brand building is crucial for sustainable growth and easier pipeline generation, acceleration, and close rates. Can guarantee when people know about you and you call them, they are more likely to say yes versus when they don't know about you and you call them. Guarantee it. So after that, here's how we get there. Like, after you've kind of all aligned on that, consistent pipeline goal for the next 18 months. This is the biggest sticking point. And it's because people are like, well, no, we should grow and grow and grow. And it's like, well, for sure. But first, maybe we should be sustainable. Like, maybe we should make sure we're not a one-hit wonder that just had massive pipeline growth and then we can't do it again. So, like, let's keep a consistent pipeline goal. If you agree to that, I'm actually going to break what is recommended of 60-40. And I'm actually, as a marketer and a marketing team, going to dedicate 60 to 70% of my time and budget to building repeatable sales activation programs for the next 6 months, because that will help sales right now build a bunch of pipeline. From there, these should be always on type programs that we give to sales that they just run with. So think of, like, and we'll give you actual list of examples: close loss, website re-engagement, miss meeting playbooks, customer winbacks, referral programs. That's five. That's five right there. That's pretty neat. So, like, once you've got those consistent, sales can own those. And I know it's teeny tiny. We'll give you the slides after. Once the playbooks are running, we can rebalance the budget allocation to where marketing is focusing 60% on brand building, 40% on activation to create sustainable growth. Through the transition, sales will start to own, maintain, and optimize these playbooks. The goal of marketing becomes to become an education program, largely, to shift perspectives, frame the problems, and position the brand as a solution. When done well, sales will then start to only reach out to warmer and warmer audiences that have a higher likelihood of speaking to us right now. That is the transition. I did an overview in like three slides. That's 18 months of your life, though. Like, made it sound really easy. It's super hard. It's a year and a half. And hey, what I'm super excited about that AB has actually put together with his team is a bit of a go-to-market assessment that actually helps give you a roadmap on some ways to get there. So, AB, can you give us just a super quick overview of what people could expect if they scan this QR code?
Yeah. And this hit home of what we've been talking so far, right? You know, for the teams who are in the trenches, and, you know, so our GTM assessment is not like the 5,000 feet high fly thing. It's more actual in the weeds, what your data is. Of course, it resonates what the strategy is and, you know, what's our target segment and what's our target ICP or SAM criteria, TRM, TAM, you name it. All that looks like, but when I go back into my system, do I have enough accounts meeting that strategy? Do I have enough people, you know, for my campaigns in those target accounts, you know, in that kind of my target list? So we do all of that. We actually go, it's a very simple, straightforward 24 to 48 hours kind of assessment where we kind of leverage AI and kind of help you in a very secure way. That, and we bring in a lot of benchmarks in the market. So we look at your data sets, we look at your KPIs, and we look at your automation. And then we find gaps and we suggest you, based on the benchmark, this is where a little bit potential, this is what is missing, this is what you could do potentially if you're trying to hit the goal for the next year up to this. What is that? Like, go towards the end goal and then come back where your data sits today and where that, you know, what we call data debt or you name it sort of thing. Yeah. So
I love it. And again, when we think through what you're offering, it's clarity on how to actually action the thought process I just outlined. Like, yes, that thought process is relatively easy to communicate. And I think in the initial conversation that you have, people are like, You're telling, okay, I get it. It'll be a hard fought, goodness gracious, battle for 18 months. But then I get it. Like, we'll have sustainable, consistent growth. And that sounds great. Then you get 3 months into it and like, well, where's our pipeline? So again, I love that you guys are offering this go-to-market assessment that actually gives people clarity on the tactical steps that they uniquely can go and implement. So again, if you need help with this, feel free to go scan this QR code. We'll bring it back up here in just a little bit. So that all begs the question.
Just real quick on that one. You know, it's funny how many, I've been around this for almost a decade. And there was a time when we used to do, back in the days, and used to do assessment. It was all about like, where's the gap in the data? Oh, we don't have enough account. We don't have enough contacts. But everyone we have seen now in the last couple of months, a year, people have too much data. Actually, that's the problem. So it's too much data chaos. Actually, they have more, but they have less relevant info, the less relevant data and less reliable data, less trusted data. But people are like slammed. They have a whole bunch of data all over and just have one or two guys to kind of manage and, you know.
Yeah. Honestly, for some organizations, they don't even have the one or they don't even have the one or two. They've got like I was talking with somebody and they're like, yeah, so I kind of became an accidental admin. And I was like, that is something you should put on a mug. That is a beautiful thing. So yeah, you've got people that just like literally fall into owning the data of our organization that should be the lifeblood that fuels every program. And they did it by accident. They had no formal training. And now as a result, they've got a lot of dirty data in a lot of organizations because there's just been so much that's flooded in. So yeah, I couldn't agree more on that front.
Coming, more coming too. Like, look at AI. You know? So,
yeah, it just gets potentially better unless utilized poorly. It actually gets significantly worse. So, what we want to do is we want to give everybody a couple of quick frameworks for how they can actually specifically start to think through organizing some of these different plays and different programs. So that said, we've got this term called an activation play, and if you think about the idea of there are viable signals or triggers or things that happen within the context of our data that should activate a team to go do an action. That's it. So that's the activation play. To make it really simple, it's just repeatable processes for when sales or CS become involved in specific customer conversations. So again, that is how we define the concept of the activation play. As we think through the structure of an activation play, there are four key components we'll dig into just a little bit here. First is data. Next is distribution, next is destination, and then lastly is direction. As you think through data, there's three components. It's targets, so who we're going after, that are then married with triggers, which would be why we're reaching out. So you've got targets and you've got triggers. And then lastly, at least in our book, data informs your personalized messaging. So a quick example of how people do an ABM program often as a starting point is they'll say, we're going to do a vertical specific program. So what they do is they go plug in some SIC codes into a data enrichment platform and then have a persona and they just pull that entire list and then they blanket all of those people the exact same way. If you'd like to hear really quickly of how I failed my first ABM program, I went after B2B SaaS companies that were Inc. 5000 winners and targeted specifically the C-suite and said something to the extent of, hey, you just won, you're a growing company. Do you want to keep growing? Because I can help you keep growing. Surprise, didn't work because I blanketed with no nuance a very generic reason to reach out. Horrible, horrible fail on my part. So what you want to do is you want to have specific targets that have clear, viable triggers, which are reasons to reach out, that then creates your highly personalized, nuanced, specific messaging. That's data. Distribution, how do we get in front of them? Destination, what are we sending them to? AKA the content. And then lastly is direction, which is just how do we plan to track this along the way? If you have those four things, you've got a repeatable process. You want the TLDR version. Here's a TLDR version. A B, as you think about this framework, targets plus triggers equals personalized messaging looks so simple. It's super hard. It's like, where are people typically getting that data component wrong in the context of their current programs?
Yeah, no, I can't. It's surprising and shocking to me. This 2024 and we're going to be in 2025 and we're still talking about the most basic thing, like which accounts to target. And it's easy said than done because the selection, you hit the nail on the head. Like, how do you select account based on industry, sub-industry, what to follow, SIC, GICS, you know, your own taxonomy or what is being followed in this company already, if you have inherited all of these things, like start there, start anyone. What's the definition of mid-market and enterprise? And, you know, every time there's a churn, there's a whole new definition makes in. So, yeah. You know, I can go on and on. But then more importantly, which we are seeing and working on ABM World for the last 7 years is you select a list and it's static. But now we live in a world which is so dynamic and there's signals all over. Like, how would I know which is the right account? Like, let's say I don't know my 200. I don't want to lock down my 200 ABM list. I want to know what is the most appropriate 200 right now as it stands. And I set those triggers and I set those criteria and you know, those rules should be customized to my business, not based on what somebody provides or some intent provider say, well, here it is, they're out in the market. Well, they're out in the market because that's what they've been out in the market forever sort of thing. What it means to me, like how do I connect back some of those weighted? So there's a lot to unbundle in the data side. And distribution is like, how do I outreach? You know, some people are super familiar with just being LinkedIn to LinkedIn. That works all the time. But with some, never works. Email, text, I don't know, you know. And at what stage, what time, what message? It's all about that. What do you think about destination?
Yeah, I mean, destination is, I think, one of the most critical components of any ABM program that is often overlooked. You know, there's been some data that has recently come out that is outlining that 56% of ABM programs are made or broken by the content that's utilized. Because we think about content typically as this kind of pseudo fluffy idea of creatives. But like at the end of the day, content is just like, what are the words that convince someone that they need to buy your stuff? Like that's it. that's what content is. And then when we break that down further, what are the ways in which your audience specifically would engage? So like, is it a written format? Is it social? Is it an email? Is it a video? Like we need to then break that down to both based on the reason we're reaching out, which would be our triggers. Where do we assume, and there's a bit of an assumption, so forgive me, but like, where do we assume they are in their current journey? It's like prime example. They're on our product page. We at least know they're brand aware. Hopefully they've looked at the top right-hand corner or left-hand corner of your website and they're like, oh, it's cool. iCustomer. Like they probably know you exist. So like we can check that off. And then if they're on your product page, they likely have a problem that you viably solve. Check that off. Okay. They bounced off your product page. So maybe they didn't understand how this uniquely serves them. Great. Let's get into some use case and case study content that's specific to their kind of organization. And then let's also think about the person. Is it an executive? Because what I found is that executives are pretty quick to watch like a 2-minute video. But if you send an executive a blog, unprompted, highly unlikely they're going to read it. So again, if you've got a 2-minute video that's like their same level of executive at a similar type organization walking through how you're the most amazing company they've ever worked with, probably going to get a watch. So it's not just content type, content topics, but it's more specifically even the medium. And another phrase that I like a lot is the medium is the message. So sometimes for people, like the message that you want to communicate is often predicated on the medium through which you choose to communicate it. So that's why I like to think a lot about destination. Last, we get into tracking. So I'm going to pass it back to you. Like, as you think about tracking capabilities, where are people typically getting this wrong?
Yeah. So I think tracking is all about like, we were talking just in earlier, like what to track and, you know, and how to track sort of a thing and who's going to track, you know, because we're seeing this, you know, that a lot of one team, I mean, we're all in one team when it comes to efforts and, you know, ABX kind of, you know, enablement, but who do actually track and how do they track? Yeah. Is the marketing, you know, whatsoever. And this is where we're seeing a lot of like nuance when it comes to tracking and also like, you know, we came up, I'm personally a huge fan of like revenue bow tie kind of architecture approach where you actually know what your goal you're going to be hitting for and then reverse plan this, you know. So this is my account. These are the people engaged. And then you kind of do that waterfall approach. And then you sort of track at each stage of the GTM funnel or my unified funnel where the friction point is. It's ideally like marketing does that, but are they empowered to have the entire funnel activities track? Can they like look at all the calendars of the sales rep and look at, you know, what's in the campaign and look through the attribution data and kind of create a central GTM tracking? Well, we started to see that happening a little bit now.
I love it. So this is helpful for a lot of people. And again, if you haven't taken a screenshot of this, take a quick screenshot. 3, 2, 1. You can also rewind if you want to later. So anyway, why do we start here? It's very simple. Again, a lot of words that are teeny tiny for you, but we'll send you the deck and you can read them. Alignment becomes far more simple and just a lot more naturally, because we're not saying, hey, sales, here's a list of people, go reach out. We're saying, hey, these are people you want to talk to. This is what they're doing. This is how we'd recommend you reach out. Can you go do it? If I'm in sales and I hear target account, again, product page, pricing page, schedule a call page, but didn't book a meeting, I'm reaching out. Like, I don't know how else to make it sound more natural. Like, it just aligns incentives. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I just explained it and it took like 45 seconds. And a B, you're like nodding your head. And I imagine I've shared this same thought process for now the past 18 months. And I've never had somebody go, nah, that doesn't make sense. That's not simple. Like, it's really intended to be much more simple. And then the last component is by focusing on signal-based or trigger-based actions, you actually see what are the highest converting actions for our organization. And over time, as you inevitably start to scale this up, you will want to implement some form of a scoring mechanism and a scoring model. So you actually can look at, based on these actions actually did convert into this next step. And as a result, we can actually over time assign specific point values, or using tools like iCustomer, actually have that, have some form of decision intelligence to help us automate the actual tracking and triggering of new programs. So I like this for a good starting point. Series of examples. I'm going to run through all of them. There's a ton here. Here's the TLDR that I need you to understand. Everybody can do these. Like, there's enough free tools or inexpensive tools. Everyone can do these on these time horizons. It's like, you should do website re-engagement every single week. Like, if people are coming to your website that are good fit customers and they aren't booking a call, reach out to figure out why. And it's not necessarily even like, hey, you didn't buy my crap. You want to buy my crap now? It's like, hey, thanks for checking out the site. Wanted to know why you showed up. What, like, we like to help people like you. Clearly, it may not be the right time, but I'd love to see how I can be helpful now. Great. Simple. Champion tracking. So if you're a large enough organization that people have bought from you previously, they can buy from you again if they move to a different company. And what I found typically is like people stay typically in the same industries. Mm-hmm. So someone that worked at a MarTech company typically moves to another MarTech or sales tech or rev tech company in some capacity. Someone that worked in the real estate industry typically stays in the real estate industry, or someone in manufacturing typically stays in manufacturing. So typically buyers, like actual decision makers, because they have gotten to a point in their career where they've already built a reputation in their industry, they move from one ICP fit company to another ICP fit company. Sorry, I took a lot of time. That's actually one of my favorite plays. Event activation, like, this is more actually sales training and enablement, and then good data organization on the back end. Quick story, there's this thing called COVID. People start going to events for a while, and then they graduated, like SDRs that are currently in seat or early career AEs graduated shortly before COVID, during COVID, or after COVID. So you have a series of people that are between the ages of like 24 to 28 that didn't go to events. Now they're your frontline at events and representing your company. Probably should figure out how to train them to have good conversations in person. Missed meeting, simple. Lost deals. B, I want you to talk a lot on lost deals actually specifically as it relates to data, but like simply put, you have the data on them. They're good people. They wanted to buy from you at one point. They said no for some reason. Overcome past objection with new things that have happened either in their organization or your organization and re-engage that deal. Simple enough. Stalled deals. Simply put, everybody gets stalled in legal. How do you keep them engaged? Well, legal review is happening. Happens every time. I can guarantee you will get stalled there. Deal multi-threading. How do you get more people involved in the deal? I have lost more deals where I only have one point of contact than when I lose a deal because there's like eight people involved. when 8 people say no to you, it does hurt a little bit more, but it's highly unlikely that they're going to just up and ghost you because they clearly have a big pain point. Whereas if it's the one person, they're likely a tire kicker. So like multi-thread that sucker. Deal acceleration. Typically, there's going to be a point in your deal cycle where you actually have the control and it's not legal review, but still gets stalled. How do you accelerate that? Last 3, customer referral programs. If you have a good product, and for sometimes that's a big if, but if you have a good product that people actually like, this is a helpful framing. Do you hate your friends? Like, have that level of conviction. Like, if I help you and you make more money, why are you not referring me your friends? Do you hate your friends? Don't say that to a customer. That's insane. But that's like the level of conviction that you should have. Upsell motions. Hey, you like this thing? It helps you out a lot. We can do more of that thing, or we can do a better version of that thing. Do you want it? Great. And then lastly, customer inbacks. Hey, you left for this reason. We've actually solved that reason. Do you want to come back? All of these existing data, good places to start, and like highly repeatable and would build pipeline. It'd be like, any thoughts or recommendations on implementing some of these plays, or do you feel like there's anything I missed?
No, I think you nailed it. You kind of oversimplified it in a good way, because I don't think, as long as look, we're in a time where, you know, we've got a lot of data. So data is not an issue. There was a time when, you know, we don't know, we don't have enough data. We don't know what to trust. We're sitting in a time where there's a lot of data. What we need to do is kind of be a little bit more quantitative. And I know we're all creative, we're all marketer. We kind of make things happen just by the best creative in place. But just going through this script by script and just call it and love it. And we also, in iCustomer, in our product, we call these as GTM plays. So you pick up a strategy, acquisition playbook. Where are these? And give me all the data. Don't give me that AI widget and AI. You can send it a nice image and a new video and then this and then that. Very intensive data oriented. Like, first go through that. Like, just look at what are the best practices in acquisition, which involves not just a linear way, but a kind of multi-threaded approach, which we can do it, which is more contextual, more intelligent driven than just kind of data driven. And the whole reason why we started iCustomer is, you know, there's a lot of data. There's a lot of chaos in data. How do we transition from like data to decision intelligence? And this is where the whole gap is, you know, sort of a thing. Can I pull a trigger? Can I take a GTM play? Can I take a decision based on, you know, the level of data quality I have, you know, or kind of trust I have? And that separates everything else, but it's doable. It's happening.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I want people to walk away from is everything we're outlining is actually super doable. Like, you can go do it today. It'll take you a couple of weeks to like get built and launched, but like, it's all very doable. So that begs the question, because everything I just outlined, people are like, that's not ABM. And I'm like, you're right, actually. It's not. It's just really good playbooks. Like, it's just very simple, intentional playbooks. So that begs the question, how do we then mature into an ABM program? I'm so glad you asked. I would actually view ABM in some contexts, like a true ABM program, actually starts the awareness stage. It's actually just really, really intentional brand building within the context of your target accounts. So if we rewind to how we get alignment, everything here will build pipeline. And yes, they may not be best fit customers, but they'll be good fits because they're based on your existing data. And once you've nailed this component, the next stage is a very oversimplified approach to ABM. So I'm going to make it really easy. 3 stages to the ABM program. Stage 1, marketing does stuff to generate account engagement. Stage 2, sales gets involved for some reason. Stage 3, marketing and sales work together to close the deal. All of these, typically stage 2. Sales gets involved for some reason. It could be website engagement. It could be a champion tracking program. It could be an event. It could be a missed meeting. It could be a closed loss opportunity. It could be a customer referral. All of those are reasons for sales to get involved that are high intent, good reasons. So then as you go to scale an ABM program, you build the ABM program around your repeatable activation plays that are based in your current data, that are highly triggerable, that are highly repeatable. What you then do is you drive more target accounts into these plays. Sales then already has an established process that they trust and they will stick with that established process. And then from there, what you aim to do is improve conversions after sales has gotten involved. Typically looks like better enablement content, better channel orchestration, better just like to involve different decision makers. But if I just, you're like, that's really oversimplified. Yes. But every one of you can listen back to this and repeat this back to your executive leadership team or repeat this back to your sales team and say, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get people that don't know that we exist to know that we exist. And you're going to like them. When they're ready, you'll get involved. And then we'll work together to make sure they close. Good? Good. Most people like that. This is the like complex, like program orchestration type approach. I'll make it really easy. Awareness. Do they know we exist? Initial engagement. Do they have a problem? Meaningful engagement. Are they exploring viable solutions? MQA. Are they actually uniquely qualified to understand our solution specifically? Product page, pricing page, schedule call page. Those three pages, MQA. Re-engagement. Are they ready to buy right now? If not, put them into a re-engagement program. SQA. They booked a meeting and they're qualified based on timing and budget. Meaning, what I'm intentionally leaving out of that is like, do they have the authority? Are they a right fit? That should be determined before awareness, because if they don't have those two things, why did you target them? So SQA is focused on timing and budget. Like, do they want to buy right now? And then you have a clear opportunity that should work through the pipeline. Two other things you'll see between yellow and green will be list-based triggers and signal-based triggers. At a certain point, people will not know that you exist. You have to do things to help them know that you exist. From there, you have first-party engagement data that you can activate through signals. I am dramatically oversimplifying this. This is highly complex. But if you can nail it, that's how you end up coming back to this. And this becomes your North Star metric of, are we activating or are we brand building? And that's how you can ensure that your programs are aligned to the current company objectives and ensuring that you actually build sustainable growth, not one hit wonder flash in the pan growth. Again, a B, you've got a great assessment that actually guides people through this. So real quick, we actually do have a question of like what all is included in that assessment that you specifically referenced. But while a B is outlining that, anybody, we've got about 10 minutes left in the session. The goal is to actually answer any outstanding questions. If you have further questions, feel free to reach out to me or Abhi. But Abhi, can you kind of outline what all would be included in this go-to-market assessment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what we do actually is like a three-level assessment. One is to look at the KPIs and what's the definition of that KPIs and bringing that into, you know, in this, in the light of like a unified team metrics, then just about, okay, this is marketing KPI and these are sales, and, you know, bringing back to everything more outcome based, but going through like one set of definition and making that alignment possible. We see the gap, companies get it, they sanitize. So all things about KPIs and metrics. Yeah. The second is the actual data situation. Like looking through your data, looking through, think of this, you know, you have some of the best quant looking at your data and giving you feedback with respect to some of our kind of other best practices account and benchmarking and things like that, that what is really going on? What is the data story you should be aware of? Like you may know your story, you may have the hunch, and you may know because you know your business, you know your actual challenges, but have somebody, a third person coming out, and this is what is highly recommended sometimes because the third party is usually unbiased, you know? So we come in, look at the data set, and maybe it's good. Maybe it's the same thing. We sort of, it's a good validation for somebody else to kind of validate in the same way. So we look at on the data front. And then the third thing is, where are the automations are missing, you know, all the way from website to all the way to your dashboard. You know, we're seeing a lot on website and there are like call to action misfirings, or, you know, there's no way you can catch attribution correctly just because, you know, the way the rules are set is kind of broken. So the data quality, we're just blaming data quality in an arm wavy way. It's actually, the rules are not in the place, which should be. And, you know, so, and they just don't know the root cause. So So we do all that root cause analysis as well. So it's not just a very fluffy, hey, we looked up and tell you something which you already know. The intent is to go at least one or two notches down and give you an overview of like, how would this help now? The goal is not to like, you know, sort of be a very periphery, you know, we found businesses, including enterprise, including mid-market. We had companies like 100 million revenue and 10 million revenue. And then we have an enterprise. We did this assessment. And this time of the year is super incredible just because everyone's trying to plan out things for next year. So, and we offer this complimentary. So go ahead, scan the code and we'll be in touch. I mean, there's a small limit of what we can do in, you know, a few in the weeks, and we have kind of, you know, we're offering few as a kind of complimentary, you know, offering in this webinar, but we'll definitely be in touch. So highly encourage you.
Yeah. And one thing you outlined that I want to really harp on is alignment conversations are always very difficult internally, because typically you have to realign, which means that somebody didn't do their job at a certain point. And people can get really defensive about that. They can get really nervous of like, oh, am I going to get in trouble? And then they may end up painting the picture a little bit differently to put themselves in a more favorable light. What I like about what you guys are offering is you're the bad guy. Like, you're the objective third party that's just like, here is reality. We can take it or leave it. Like, this is reality. So again, there's literally no risk to anybody to get the assessment. So I highly recommend it and encourage it. I actually just filled out the form myself. So that said, we've got a time for maybe one or two questions. And biggest question, and this is something that actually gets often brought up, we didn't address the target account list. And people typically think about ABM through the lens of the target account list. So again, as we're thinking about the factors that go into building out that target account list, Abhi, how do you start some of those conversations of this is who we're actually going to prioritize for our ABM program?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is something very core we offer in iCustomer and some of our kind of high-tech B2B edition, where we actually had offered like a data cooperative powered, unified, multi-vendor, multi-source data referential service where you can actually, you know, select your SAM or TAM and go through a specific list of like, you know, filters, create a list, look at very detailed, like conversationally talk to it, you know, in a sort of AI assisted way of identifying your SAM. And this basically like boils down all the multiple vendor reliance, because we've heard a lot like, hey, we relied on this data vendor and their data model was different. We relied on this data vendor, but they didn't had enough. You know, they had like a lot of companies not in a way we would have liked in our data models. So all kinds of abstraction we've kind of taken care of. So you go through, do the SAM selection. Then, you know, with that as a next step, you basically look at your existing ideal customer or actual customer, where through an AI lookalike approach, you can actually find out, it's not just by hunch, by looking at a lot of similarity score of where your exact existing CRM customer, which says has a resonance with this bigger SAM list we've been doing. And then we take up to a weightage class where I can put, or somebody can put like actual weightage, which is relevant to your business, like my business. So I could say, look, somebody hiring a new CMO in the last, or a new CMO is hired in the last 90 days is definitely a plus plus. And so I can put more weightage on that part. I could put more weightage also on aspect of the lookalike similarity score for a certain set. And then I kind of bring the SAM list to a level of a ranked order. So I could see, look, according to my SAM, I have about 20,000 account. And if I can do further filtering it down, I can go down to most relevant 1,000 account, you know, in a kind of coexisted way. It's not just about like some dumb data filtering, but it's also kind of the most accurate way in me sort of ranking with an AI assisted way. I think it's super unique and would love to like show folks if interested. And already we have tons of clients doing it. They have a dynamic list of ABM, which is not just being selected once, no static list. It's a dynamic powered by unified signal. The signals are unified beyond just one data vendor. So they're like tons of data or tons of signal. And so you don't need to buy like, you know, one master file here, the other file here. This comes in with unified to your business, your accounts, which you're doing. So at any given point in time, you have a live, you know, in your Salesforce, you have a live ranking of your 1,000 accounts where you could pick up the phone and talk like, which are the top 100 I should do. And you can further segment it. You can deploy it in your ABM program or advertising or email or you name it. It's exciting how this has come this far. Like we've seen so many ups and downs and how people when ABM started off and, you know, a whole bunch of like chaos to now where it is going. I'm really pumped. I'm really excited where we have achieved and personally super excited. Love to talk more if folks are interested to get a demo and, you know, see how we go from here.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I feel like I started the year with a very clear understanding of the effective ways to do ABM. And now all of a sudden with all these different tools that are on the rise that are actually very affordable versus the $250K tech stack, we're having to rethink the framing and to have a different approach to ABM that is still scrappy in its nature. So anyway, Abhi, so much for joining and just hosting and having a I enjoyed the conversation. I think people can find me on LinkedIn. They can find you on LinkedIn. Scrappy ABM, iCustomer would just be websites. So if you just Google those things, you can see us there. Anything else before we call it a day, Abhi?
No, thank you for joining. And you've been a great, you know, speaker and, you know, educating about ABM. You do it naturally, very passionate. Love that. Love having that conversation. So I'm glad we did this and over to the next one. So excited.
Well, everybody, thank you so much. And as Abhi said, we will see you in the next one.
Bye, everybody.
100% for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.